Good morning and welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. We have one case on our docket for oral submission this morning, which is you all. And then we have five cases set for non-oral submission. So if you all are ready to proceed, I will have the clerk call the first case. Council ready? Clark.
May it please the court. Good morning. I'm Todd Clark with the Walsh Gallegos Law Firm, and along with Catherine Alder, we represent the Tarrant Appraisal District. Also present today are the Manager of Litigation, William Durham, and the Chief Appraiser of Commercial Property, David Law, who are seated behind me to the left. This appeal requires this court to decide if plaintiff below, the Tarrant Regional Water District, proved as a matter of law its right to a property tax exemption for its public property leased for a purely commercial purpose to a private company to run a restaurant and bar. Now, the trial court granted summary judgment below for the plaintiff, and that's a decision that this court reviews de novo. This is an important case to the people of Texas who deserve this case to be decided on a full record. The Water District below did not list in its grounds for summary judgment any basis except their organic or enabling law, Section 11. We're here to tell you that the tax code repealed that section in 1979, and therefore there is no stated basis in the summary judgment motion for this court to uphold summary judgment. Now, the case potentially implicates lots of statutes and constitutional provisions and codes, but honestly, this case can be decided on fairly simple issues related to tax law and summary judgment law. On a policy level, it also implicates who should benefit from tax exemptions and who should shoulder tax burdens. The legislature has given us a pretty clear path based on actions such as the Pivoteau Bill in 1979, which reset the table on tax law and repealed all general, special, and local laws that presumed to give tax exemptions. It explained what the fundamental principles for taxation should be, including that commercially leased property is subject to taxation. Now, the Water District simply didn't carry its burden below to show that it was entitled to an exemption as a matter of law. Now, we did raise two constitutional provisions that say special or local laws cannot provide tax exemptions. They contend we waived that below, but we believe the court should find that their simple argument of we should be tax exempt invites us to argue any basis we want to say why this exemption is not permissible, but really the court doesn't need those constitutional provisions to decide this case. The facts here involve a stretch of property along the Trinity Trails between Rogers Road and University Drive. In 2011, the Water District chose to plat a small piece of property in that area for development as a future commercial property, and shortly thereafter, the Water District entered a commercial lease with Chef Tim Love to run the Woodshed Smokehouse restaurant and bar. Now, the appraisal district began to appraise that property as taxable, but only the portion of the property essential to the new commercial use. Pursuant to the terms of the commercial lease, Tim Love's company became responsible for any assessed property taxes, which is unusual since they're here claiming today that there were no circumstances under which they could be taxed for any use of their property. And in fact, Tim Love is the real party in interest here today. He's the only person who's ever been required to pay taxes on the property. So the lease, which I would encourage you to look at from the summary judgment motion, it is a helpful exhibit, unlike the 60-page engineering report, which offers nothing in terms of summary judgment evidence for you to consider, and I wouldn't spend your time there. But the lease, if you evaluate it, shows it is a commercial lease. It's intended for lucrative business purposes. That's what it is. It does not ask Mr. Love to start a recreational facility. It doesn't ask him to promote the use along the Trinity River Trail. What it asked him is to maximize sales from which his rent was determined. Now, we're not arguing that the Water District isn't extremely important. Of course it is. And it's, you know, under Article 16, Section 59, the Constitution says its actions are important and we need water districts. We've never said their conservation and reclamation efforts aren't important and that they can't operate parks and recreational facilities. Well, the Woodshed Smokehouse is not a recreational facility. It can also undertake economic development activities, but that's when its board of directors undertakes specific actions that are required under its enabling law. And by the way, Economic development was not an argument in their summary judgment motion below, nor did they argue we were creating a recreational facility. They claimed incorrectly that we're allowed to promote recreational use, and I would say that honestly the Woodshed Smokehouse and the evidence below certainly didn't show as a matter of law that it did promote recreational use along the trail. And Article 16, Section 9 certainly doesn't provide any tax exemptions. It just speaks to the fact that water districts are important and they do have certain powers, which we fully acknowledge. But we do have to say the tax code in 1979 unequivocally revoked any aspect of their enabling statute that created the tax exemption. If you look at Section 11 of their enabling law, it says that they shall not be taxed. Well, and they haven't been in this case. Mr. Love has been forced to pay tax due to the fact that his lease requires that. But the water district has not. Now, I would encourage this court to decide this case under principles stated by the Supreme Court in the Bullock v.
But you are, in fact, attempting to tax the water district. I mean, the lease pass-through has nothing to do with you.
Well, and Your Honor, what the appraisal district does is appraise properties for tax purposes. They don't actually assess or collect any taxes, but you're correct. We're evaluating the property in the hands of the owner.
Correct.
We're just simply saying that the water district cannot claim that.
So, but you said that the water district hadn't been taxed, that Mr. Love had been taxed, and that's, in fact, incorrect.
Well, I'm sorry if I said that. I meant to say they haven't paid any tax, and Section 11 requires that they, well, while it was still an active aspect of the law, said they could not be, that they could not pay tax. It doesn't even use the word exempt. But correct, we're assessing the property in the water district's hands and saying they're welcome to use it for their public purposes, but operating restaurants and bars is not one of them, and it's clearly a commercial lease designed to have commercial success, not to promote recreation. And they're only authorized, again, to build, construct, obtain, and maintain recreational facilities. It does not allow them to do something that might in some way tangentially support recreation along the river. I would encourage the court to decide this case under principles in the Bullock v. National Bank Shares case. In that case, it said statutory exemptions are subject to strict construction since they are the antithesis of equality and uniformity and because the greater burden is placed on other tax-paying businesses and individuals. Does the court really want to provide the water district an opportunity to provide tax breaks to private individuals for purposes that are not consistent with reclamation, preservation, and the operation of recreational facilities and parks? And by the way, the LCRA case is one case on the end of the spectrum that we think is correctly decided because there, the lease, essentially an operating license for a private company, perfectly overlaid with the purposes of the LCRA. And that case sits at one end of the spectrum, while the San Antonio City of San Antonio versus Bastrop Appraisal District case, which deals with the lignite mining, sits at the other end of the spectrum. In the case decided here, the Grand Prairie Hospital case, and in the Dallas Court of Appeals, sits kind of in the middle of that spectrum, where in the lignite mining case, you've got something clearly being used for commercial purposes, even though it had some arguable benefit to the city still, and the LCRA case, where they had simply hired someone to run a park, which is their exact purpose for existence. In the Grand Prairie Hospital cases, this court and the Court of Appeals in Dallas said, you know, Section 11.11A of the tax code has always been required to, has always been interpreted to require that it be shown to be used for public purposes only and devoted exclusively to the use and benefit of the public. Now, that's still the valid interpretation of exemptions under 11.11A of the tax code, which they will argue, but they didn't argue that at summary judgment. The only basis they argued for summary judgment was their enabling law. Now, the tax code provisions say that all real and tangible personal property that the state has jurisdiction to tax is taxable unless exempt by law. Well, again, the Pivoteau bill repealed all laws presuming to give an exemption, and although the legislature has revisited their enabling statute and amended it once in 2001 and once in 2005, it said not one word about tax exemptions for the water district. But the tax code does allow property owned by the...
But how could the legislature amend what you are contending is a void enabling act?
I'm glad you asked that because I want to be very clear. We're not arguing that their enabling legislation is void. That's the position they've taken in their briefing, but all we've ever alleged is that any right to claim an exemption through it was repealed by the tax code. Their enabling law is valid law, but that section is constitutionally prohibited, and it was repealed by the tax code. This is one reason why the conflicts arguments that we both make to some extent really don't need to burden the court today, because there aren't provisions in conflict. You had a tax provision in there, Section 11 of their enabling law, that the tax code came in and repealed. There's nothing left to argue about in terms of conflicts provisions in the statute. So I'm glad you asked. We're not arguing that their enabling statute is void, but the work they do is important. This isn't the work they were crafted to do. It's a commercial lease for commercial business purposes, and that's not what's appropriate. And this court and the Dallas Court of Appeals made that very clear in the Grand Prairie Hospital Authority cases. And those cases were rightly decided. I'm also sure that they're going to visit with you about the Texas Student Housing Authority case. That case doesn't control the outcome here because that case did not even address the repealing effect of the tax code in 1979. The Amarillo Court of Appeals briefly talked about it, seemed inclined to agree, but said, we don't have to answer that question because we're going to find the housing authority exempt under other constitutional provisions. When it got to the Supreme Court, no briefing, no discussion on the repealing effect of the tax code. And in fact, the Student Housing Authority states principles that are important here, that talk about exemptions aren't to be read into laws by implication. And what they're doing, because they know that their enabling statute Section 11 law was repealed, they're asking you to read into their empowerment language in the Constitution and other duties and opportunities they have through their enabling legislation, which are valid, a chance to claim a tax exemption because those things ipso facto create a tax exemption. But they do not. Just because you're granted a public duty or responsibility doesn't make you tax exempt in that activity. In fact, their generic language about we're engaged in recreational use isn't material. Their enabling statute only speaks to recreational facilities and speaks to economic development when their board of directors goes through specific outlined steps for what an economic development program will look like. The summary judgment record in this case doesn't have any approvals of an economic development program. It doesn't have any rules or budgeting for what the contours of such a program would be. So that's all artifice they've given you in hopes of finding another road to exemption or paths, as they would say. But the first path that they've described was repealed. The other two paths they describe, just the constitutional empowerment and now the tax code 11.11a, aren't mentioned in their summary judgment motion at all. So I would encourage the court to carefully evaluate whether their motion, in fact, supports the various paths they claim exist. The paths are fictional, and they weren't mentioned in their motion for summary judgment. I want to talk a little bit more about the cases that we think frame the result here. And as I said, the Student Housing Authority out of the Supreme Court does not decide this case because they didn't answer the repeal issue. Moreover, that statute under consideration was a general law by which the legislature may create tax exemptions. They cannot do it by special or local law. But I want to again say, if you'll look at the City of San Antonio case dealing with lignite mining and look at it at one end of the spectrum of what constitutes public use or public purpose, look at the LCRA case, again, where asking someone as a lessee to operate a public park, which is your exact purpose, those are the ends of the spectrum. And the correct holdings in the Grand Prairie Hospital Authority cases sit in the middle. And I would say Tim Love's activities actually creep more toward the lignite mining, operating a restaurant and bar, than they do the hospital authority cases where they were empowered to build office buildings and enter leases, but that empowerment didn't entitle them to an exemption. So,
but isn't that different because the only people who would be using those office buildings were patients of the physicians, whereas here
Woodshed Smokehouse, Your Honor.
Woodshed Smokehouse is open to any member of the public.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I lost the first point
of your question. My question was, I see a distinction because the case where the hospital district was not allowed, the office buildings for the doctors that they built were taxable. Those office buildings were not used by the general public. They were used only by patients of the doctors. Contraposed against the situation here where the smokehouse is open to any member of the public who wants to go there.
Well, and members of the public could go to both the physician's offices and the restaurant. And my reason for stating that Mr. Love's activities are not close, they're further down the spectrum than the hospital authority cases are, is that the hospital patients.
You may finish your train of thought, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. The hospital patients and the activities of those in the leasehold were entirely consistent with the reasons why the authority was created. And operating a restaurant and bar is a completely different venture, and just saying that it makes money is not enough reason to say, and therefore it serves a public purpose, an issue you don't even need to reach because they didn't argue public purpose, except to say it shows how their organic statute should be enough, even if it has conditional language. So we would ask you reverse the court below and send us back to develop a full record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Steve Hayes. I represent the Tarrant Regional Water District here today. I'm glad that Mr. Clark ended up with his conclusion that the use of the woodshed facility is not consistent with the purposes of the Tarrant Regional Water District. I'd like to look at those purposes for a moment. If you would, there's a little red handout up there. And one thing, just for future reference, behind tab one, there's kind of a schematic here where I've traced the different routes that you can go through the analysis, whether you're looking at the organic statute or Article 8, Section 2, or you're looking at Article 11, Section 9. But for these purposes today, or at least for starting out, what I'd like for you to do is look behind tab 9, which is where there's a copy of behind tab 5, which is where we've got Article 16, Section 59. That's the constitutional provision that allows for creation of districts like the Water District here. And if you'll look at the first couple of lines, it says the conservation and development of the resources and the development of parks and recreational facilities, including storing floodwaters and stuff. And then in orange I've got, are each and all hereby declared public rights and duties, and the legislature shall pass all laws as may be appropriate thereto. When you look at the organic statute, which is behind tab 7, and flip over to the third page of that, you will see at the top that the district may provide for, participate in, the acquisition, construction, and development of recreational facilities. The Water District built the property here. Built.
Mr. Hayes, can I stop you just a moment,
please? Yes, sir.
If you look at the very first line, section one, of what we are identifying as the organic statute.
Yes, sir. Let me get back there with you just a minute. Okay.
This act relates to the Tarrant Regional Water District, a mm-hmm. water control and improvement district, here and after called district. That doesn't say that the Tarrant Regional Water District is equivalent to and contiguous with the state of Texas, does it?
Well, I don't think it does. It's a political subdivision of the state, and so been held by.
It's a part of the state.
But governmental agency, political subdivision of the state. Yes, sir.
And it is. And how would you define the two terms that we see all through the multiple hundreds of pages of briefing that we've gotten? That or not to have a tax exemption created by a special law or a local law. What is a special law?
For purposes of, that's Article 3, Section 56, I think.
I don't care what purpose. What do you define? How do you define special law?
Well, actually, the cases have gone into that, and they've talked about what a special or local law is for purposes of that constitutional provision. And they talk about, and we've mentioned Mr. Braden in his commentary, talking about it was intended to prevent corruption or somebody that couldn't get a deal passed locally, and so they ran down to Austin. And it's intended to benefit just one little bitty group.
All right, stop there. A special law intends to direct legislative attention to a special group of people.
Well, could be, like, for example, in the Maple Run case.
Yes, where all the cases you cited come back to defining special law as a law designated to apply to a certain group of people.
It does, but it's a little more than that, because there are the cases that talk about if it's important to the general interest of the state, affects a broad group of people over a significant region of the state, then it's not a special law.
So does the Tarrant Regional Water District apply to a specific territory within the state of Texas?
There are 11 counties. Well, I know that there are at least 11 counties that are covered by it, because the Bennett case mentions that. Supplies water to 2 million people, including people in Fort Arkansas.
So the focus is not on the whole state of Texas, but on 11 counties, maybe plus a little, that the district is supposed to be working to serve for their water and water resources in its functions day-to-day.
Well, that's true, and that's a matter of importance, greater importance to the state of Texas, just like the Lower Colorado River Authority is, which has been held to.
What I'm trying to do is narrow down the definitions of what you folks talk about extensively in your briefing. Constitutional provisions, statutory provisions, tax code, education code, all of this were boiling down in my mind to what is it that we're talking about. Are we talking about a general law that applies to the whole state of Texas? Obviously not.
Well, no.
Are we talking about a designed piece of legislation to focus attention on 11 counties and the people that live within those 11 counties to help them both regulate and provide water resources?
That's what the organic statute does.
Yes, sir. And so in the very first part of the discussion in your motion, in the plaintiff's motion for summary judgment, it identifies the plaintiff as appellant Tarrant Regional Water District, a water control and improvement district, the district. And I'm getting hard to get away from, with all this briefing and all the discussions of the constitutional provisions, the tax code, the election code application, and the many, many, many cases that are cited in the briefs, down to we're talking about a special district. And the Constitution says you can't grant exemptions by a special law or a local law.
Yes, but they're not synonymous there, Judge. I mean, when you look at the case law, that's not what they focus on to determine whether a law is a special or local law or not. It's broader than that. It's bigger than that. If that was the case, then DFW Airport, which this court held was that was not a special law that was in place there, that case would have come out the other way. It becomes more important. You have to look at as part of the calculus. It's not just does it affect, for example, the counties that are affected by the Lower Colorado River Authority, which is not created pursuant to a special law. It's okay. It's not just is it a few counties. It's not like the Cameron County case where there were just a few counties that where their parks were tax exempt. Does the statute itself, in this case having to do with the organic statute for the Tarrant Regional Water District, whether that has to do with something that's of greater import to the state as a whole, whether it affects a broad region, a significant group of people?
Well, then please point out to me in the organic statute, I've got multiple copies that you've given us and I've read it carefully, where in that statute does it say that we're not talking about 11 counties, we're talking about the state of Texas as a whole?
Well, if you look over here, I think I've got it in this, I'm not sure. If you look at the purpose behind the district on section 18, the third page that we were talking about a minute ago, up at the very top of the page of the organic statute, it says the district may provide for or participate in the acquisition, construction, yada, yada, development of recreational facilities to the full extent authorized by Article 59, Section 59, Article 16, or the Water Code. I mean,
still the district, isn't it?
Yes.
All of these phrases in this enabling statute are only talking about the district.
It's yes, they govern the district.
Responsibility,
yes, sir.
To the Tarrant Water Board.
That's correct. It does what it does in the region that's covered by the district.
All right. Thank you, sir, for the discussion.
Yeah, sure. In looking at the purpose of the district, and we've gone over that, the development of recreational facilities, and then you look at the lease, which is behind tab 2 of the handout, and on page 2 of that, in the top paragraph, it talks about the fact that the tenant shall in good faith conduct and carry on in the entire lease premises the type of business for which the lease premises are leased, and shall keep the lease premises open to the public for business. And looking in the second paragraph there of the handout, which is section 10.2, in the middle of it, it says it being understood and acknowledged by the tenant that the landlord entered into this lease in large part because it believes the use and trade name will benefit the trailhead. And the trailhead is the recreational facility that's owned by the Water District. So we have to keep it open to the public. We have to use it for the benefit of the trailhead, and the permitted uses are for restaurant with alcohol sales, recreational activities and entertainment, and including live music. We as lawyers deal with contracts so often that go awry and then don't work. This is a contract that did work and has worked and continues to work. They talk about that they have only taxed, I can't remember, only the part essential to the use of the restaurant. Well, that's just not true. First of all, they tax 35,000 square feet. The only parts that's leased to the restaurant is about 10,000 square feet. But more than that, they tax the levy that the restaurant, that the woodshed sits on. That levy is there for flood control and has been there for flood control for 50 years. We have to make the River Shack has to make the restrooms available in the lease premises to all comers, and it does, and it has. Everybody in the public, as Justice Walker pointed out, can access the premises. They can buy anything they want to buy, exactly like the general store that was involved in the LCRA versus Bastrop County case, which met with approval, and which was considered to be not only a public use, but exclusively a public use. River Shack here has carried on the lease in good faith. It's done more than that. It provides weekly music, matter of fact, multiple times a week. Anybody that's on the trail can hear it. It provides games that everybody can play, whether they buy anything at the facility or not. It sponsors monthly fun runs. It sponsors bike walks or bike runs. It sponsors all that kind of stuff. There are other things that I probably won't be able to cover here because I probably won't have time, But the point is, all of these uses that I've just described with you are consistent with the development of recreational facilities. Not only that, they have supercharged the use of the trailhead. I don't know how many people went to the trailhead beforehand, but compare that to how many go now. This lease has been a huge financial success as well, and all of these things are consistent with the recreational development use of the water district.
I was just going to ask you, this may be a really basic question, but by trailhead, do you mean the entrance here? When you say the trailhead, does that mean the entrance into the...
As I understand it, and I would have to look at the lease here, it's the property located there, and it's, unfortunately, the lease says it was outlined in red on Exhibit A, and we don't have a color.
I'm assuming that the trailhead is the entrance here.
No, actually, I think it's back over there where the restaurant sits, if you read the lease,
okay,
is what I think.
Okay.
By the way, I look back over our motion for summary judgment, and I highlighted all the stuff that relates to public use, where we've talked about the public use, not only the public use that's declared by the organic statute, but allowed by the Constitution, but the actual public uses. 30% to 40% of this is dedicated to public use. And this is not like this is a surprise. If you look at the last page in your handout behind the last tab, there's an email there from the chief appraiser of TAD that's 4 years before the motion for summary judgment was heard, where he talks about, you know, we don't think you're using it for public use at all. That's the issue. That's been the issue all along. We've addressed that. Judge Gabriel.
How do you respond? His time's up.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We went over.
So how do you respond to his argument that the organic statute has been repealed, but that was the only thing that you raised in your motion for summary judgment? I assume that's what you're talking about when you say
yes.
You highlighted the public use.
Yes.
So you're saying that your motion for summary judgment raised the whole public use, public ownership issues, so that even if the organic statute wasn't available, that the Constitution and the tax code are. Am I understanding your argument?
Yes.
Anything you'd like to correct in what I just said?
No, that's exactly what we're saying. We don't have to cite, I mean, case law's in our brief. We don't have to cite the specific authorities. We just have to make the argument. And we did that through saying, look, we've used it for public use, and not only that, the lease provides for public use. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
And I kind of feel almost compelled to discuss with you a little bit of my background as I sit here as one of three panel members. Dixon Holman preceded me in place two on this court. I succeeded him on this court. By about 20 years, I also succeeded him as a member of the Texas Senate. I only say that to you because of the arguments that are made in the briefs and are addressed, some by you and some by counsel for the appellee, that the changes made to the enabling legislation, the organic statute in 1957, proposed to, which was sponsored by Senator Holman, purported to expand on the functioning of the Tarrant Water District so that it meets the purposes that Mr. Hayes has been arguing about. How do you address that in specific? I mean, legislative intent is only an issue whenever it comes into doubt as to what the legislature was intending to do. That's not raised in any of the briefing or the pleadings or in the summary judgment motion or the response. However, I'm trying to get in my mind, sitting here, of the impressions I've had over years of justice and Senator Holman, that he had it in his mind when he was working on the statute in 1957 on the Senate floor that we were going to allow the contracting for the building and the operation of a barbecue restaurant and bar on the river. What in the world was there ever anything in any of the statutory discussions in 57 when all this was going on, that this might have been the purpose for or one of the consequences even of the amendments that were being considered?
Thank you, Judge Meyer. That was not in the contemplation of the legislature in 1957. The work that this water district and others do is extremely important to the state of Texas. There's no getting around that. We're just saying, if you're going to have a tax exemption, first, state the one you're claiming and defend it in your motion for summary judgment, but also show that what you're doing is making an exclusive use of the property for public purposes and that it's devoted to use for the benefit of the public. It's held only for public purposes. I don't think a restaurant and bar does that, as entertaining and enjoyable as it may be. And I think the legislature did speak with exceptionally clear intent when they codified the tax laws of the state and repealed any general, special, or local laws. I think that's perfectly clear. And so your point is extremely well taken, that whatever the intent was then, it's not present now. And I should point out that had the legislature wanted, after the tax code, to cure this, Section 1.02 in the tax code claims all taxing units are subject to the tax code unless a law enacted after enactment of this title or by or pursuant to which the taxing unit is created, their organic statute, expressly provides that this title does not apply. Well, in 2001 or 2005, when they're extending them some economic development authority, when they're saying you can build recreational facilities and you can do certain things, why not say, and in these activities you will remain tax exempt regardless of use? That didn't happen, and that is what the legislature provided us as the answer for how this gets done. And I'm glad you asked the question about local or special laws. It clearly is. The general water code says laws of a special or local nature, such as statutes creating various kinds of conservation and reclamation districts, are not included in or affected by this code. The legislature believes that persons interested in these local and special laws may rely on the sessions laws and compilation of these laws. That's in its statement of purpose in Section 1.01001 of the Water Code. And then further, we provided you with the editors and revisors note saying that the laws creating water districts are not being carried forward into the Water Code and are being dropped from Vernon civil statutes as special laws. There's no question it's a special law, and there's no question that's constitutionally prohibited for creating tax exemptions. It is perfectly permissible for them to be empowered to do a number of things, but leasing for the purpose of a restaurant and bar is not one of them. By the way, we request the court reverse the court below.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Thank you for your briefing and for your argument before the court today. It's been very helpful in this statutory and contract-driven case. We appreciate all your exhibits as well. Your case is submitted, and the court will be adjourned.
All right. The Honorable Court of Appeals for the Second District of Texas now.